Begin the current daf, Masechta Tzavachim, daf Kuf Yud. Begin 11 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah, which we had the Mishnah in the previous daf that had a machlekes between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim regarding what's the liability with certain things, not like the carbon oil of the Mishnah before that, but rather like the kaimitz, levaina, ketores, those types of things. The Chachamim said the liability of halal b'chutz, of sacrificing on the outside of the Azar, is going to be even the size of a kezayis, which Rabbi Elazar said, no, you can be exempt until you sacrifice the entirety of that thing. And the reason for that is because they're not considered valid haktara, which they are matirim to permit other things until you sacrifice the whole thing. Now, in principle, the Rabban agree to the concept that, yeah, to be considered a matir, to have a total haktara, you have to sacrifice all of it. However, as we explained in the previous daf, they hold that since one could sacrifice, let's say, the kaimitz in stages, so each stage is considered a valid haktara, and even if it has just a minimum of a kezayis, it's going to be considered a haktara to be chayim when one does the bachutz. However, on that, the Mishnah said, v'kulon shechisru. And this is based on because the principle is that the Rabban agree that you need the whole amount. It's just that you could do it in stages, you could do it in increments. But if, let's say, there's a part of missing, let's say, from that kaimitz or from that mincha, then, yes, even if one goes and does the kezayis according to the Rabbanan, they're going to agree that there, if whoever does the bachutz is going to be exempt because you don't have the full measurement to even do it in increments, and therefore one's not going to be chayv, even the kezayis. Now, regarding this halacha of if it's missing a part of its total amount, that one's not going to be chayv for halal b'chutz, Ibarulor did the following question. Chisarin d'chutz. Let's say that diminishment happened when they first took out the entirety, it was complete. They first took it outside, and then, before they sacrificed it, then part of it got lost or got burnt. Shmei chisarin, is that considered this halacha of our Mishnah that it's lacking, and therefore if one now goes and burns what's remaining on the outside, he's going to be exempt? Or is that not going to be considered, quote, lacking? And therefore, according to the Rabbanan, because we'll see according to Rabbi Elazar, there's no question whatsoever, but according to the Rabbanan, then you'll be liable as if the whole thing was around, because when it was taken out, it was whole. What's the question? So the Gemara explains. Me and Rina, do we say, look, kivan the nafak, the moment that you take it out of the Azar, if siluhulu, it automatically became pasul, because of the psul of Yaitzev going out of the area where it's allowed to be. And even so, when it's intact, when one goes and burns it on the outside, he's going to be liable for the iser of halal b'chutz. So mali chasa mali yesu, what's the difference? There's less, there's more. Who cares? It's already pasul anyway because of Yaitzev. What's the difference if now it's also pasul because of chasa that's lacking? It doesn't make a difference. As long as it was whole when it left, then you'll be chayv in halal b'chutz. Or maybe that no, Yaitzev de iser be'enei in. When it's taken out, but it's intact, then you'll be chayv for halal b'chutz, because that's intrinsic into the halacha of the Torah of being chayv halal b'chutz. But the less of any lie, but if it's not totally intact, even if it became chas once it's on the outside, maybe one would not be chayv for halal b'chutz, according to the Rabban. So Amar Abaye says, Tashem, that's being arrived from the halacha of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah quoted Rabbi Elazar Peiter. He says, no, you're exempt for doing any one of these things, the Keteris, the Mechaz Kanim, all those different items of our Mishnah, until you burn all of it on the outside. So obviously, says the Gemara, that you need to have, says Abaye, that you need to have all of it being burned, even if it's lacking when it was once it was taken out, but before it was burned, you're not going to be chayv. On that Amalei, Rabbi Bar Rav Chanan Labaya, he asks, Rabbi Elazar Pashut Mar? What, is the master resolving our question from Rabbi Elazar? Rabbi Elazar, he holds, even if the whole thing is intact, but you're only going to sacrifice, let's say, part of it like kezayis, even there he holds you're exempt. Our whole question wasn't according to Belaz. Of course according to Belaz you're going to be exempt, because you didn't burn the whole thing, no matter when it got lost. Because even when it's around and you only do part of it, you can be exempt. Our question was according to the Rabbanan, who they hold, if it's intact, but you only sacrifice part of it like a kezayis, you're going to be chayiv. They agree if it's intact that you're going to be chayiv. When do they agree, which was the words of the Mishnah we quoted opening up the Gemara, when it's lacking, but maybe if it's lacking from when it's inside, oh, then it's not whole. Then you wouldn't be able to do it inside, so maybe not chayv outside. But maybe our question is still valid according to them, that if it only came chaser once was already outside and possible anyway, then maybe you'd be chayv. But don't bring me a ride from Rabbi Elazar, who he, of course, he's going to say that you're not going to be chayv, because he holds in general, you're not chayv until you burn the whole thing. So Amalei, Abaye said to him, no, beferish mili minei derav. I explicitly heard from Rav, that ad kan li pligir Rabbanan led Rabbi Elazar. Where do we have the machlekes Rabbanan Rabbi Elazar in our Mishnah? That's ela de'isa be'ene. They only disagree if it's intact. That's what they say. Okay, then if it's intact, then you could be chayv even if you don't do the whole thing, even if you only do in measurements, even if you do only the size of a kezayis. But I heard from Rav, but if it's lacking, then they agree to him. Says Abaya Lav the Chasa B'chutz, isn't the case that Rav is saying that they agree is even if it became lacking when it's on the outside? Because if you're saying that that's where Rabban agreed with Rabban Elazar is the type of opinion that holds no matter when it became lacking, if you don't do the whole thing, and if it's lacking even on the outside, you didn't do the whole thing, that you're going to be exempt. So if that's what he's saying that they agree to him, isn't it even talking about by Chasa B'chutz? So you see that they would agree in that case? That says the Gemara, no, Raya the Chasa Bifnim. You could say that when did Rav say that they agree to him, as we find the Halacha in our Mishnah, is only when it became Chasa Bifnim. But our question is still valid. If let's say it became Chasa B'chutz, would they hold that that would still be Chayef Allah B'chutz or not? So the Gemara says Toshma, it's being another Raya from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, this Halacha that we just quoted in the Gemara, quoting from our Mishnah, opening up the Gemara, we said, B'kulan Shechisru V'hekriven B'chutz, Potter. And any one of these cases, if let's say they were lacking, and then part of it was sacrificed on the outside, if whatever's left, then one's going to be exempt. Says the Gemara, Lav the Chasa B'chutz, isn't it talking about whenever it became lacking, even became lacking only when it was on the outside? Says the Gemara, no Raya, the Chasa B'chutz, it could be talking about if it was lacking on the inside, but could be if it became lacking only once it was taken out, that actually one would be chayv, and therefore we did not resolve the question according to Rabbanan, what's the halacha if it became Chasa B'chutz, if that's ikri chaser, and to be exempt, or it's not considered chaser, and one would be chayv for the Allah B'chutz. Now the Mishnah concluded by saying, Hamakiv Kachim, if someone sacrificed a korban, which has the meat of the korban, with the imurim, the sacrificial parts connected to that meat, and one does a b'chutz, so one's going to be chayv. And obviously the liability is for the imurim, because basr, you don't sacrifice the mizbech inside to be liable for doing it on the outside, it's for the imurim. And that is the Gemara, but amai, why would one be chayv in this case, when he's burning this piece of the korban, which has the meat, the flesh, together with the fats? Why is he chayiv? But the meat is an interposition between the emurin and the mizbech, the bama that he's doing on the outside. Because the meat is not fit for haktara. That gets in the way between the emurin and the maracha and the fire that he's doing on the outside. Because that's the equivalent of what's inside the base of Megdash. If one would do it on the mizbech, that wouldn't be considered a valid halah of putting on the mizbech. Because the Torah tells us in the beginning of Yikra, Allah eitzim ashala eish. The actual emurin has to be on the fire, which is on the wood, which is on the fire. Because the Gemara's assumption right now is that the halacha of a Mishnah is like Rabbi Yisi, who he said in the previous Mishnah that the liability of b'chutz is only if you do it exactly like it is b'fnim, which is on a mizbech itself. So you have to do it exactly as it's burnt inside. So therefore the laws of chatzitza would apply. So how is this a liability if you're not putting the imurim directly on the fire? It's the imurim on the meat, which is on the fire. So Amar Shmuel, he says, no, kishahafchan. We're talking about where he turned it upside down, where instead of the fats being on the meat, now the meat are on the bottom, and the fats on the bottom, the imurim, and the meat is on the top, and therefore the imurim are directly on the fire. And that's why there's no chatzitza. Rabbi Yechonam, he gives the second interpretation. He says, no, filatei mishalahafchan. You could even say it's talking about where he didn't turn it upside down. And you're right, the meimurim are not directly on the fire, not on the wood which is on the fire. But Vahomani, who's the town of our Mishnah? It's Reb Shimon. The Amma that he says in the Machlik is the Reb Yisi in that previous Mishnah, the Amma Filahelu Alaseli holds the liability of Bama Bachot is even if it's not on the actual altar to have all the halachas of the Mizbech. It's even if one does it on the rock, and therefore doesn't have to have the halos of Chatzitza, and therefore even if the meat's in the way, one's still going to be liable for Allah Bachot. And that is going to be Halu Asal, is Chayiv, one's Chayiv even for being put on the rock. Third interpretation, Rav Amay says, min b'mina in the chaitzitz. It's the same type of species, it's from the same animal, and therefore, that's not considered a valid chatzitza, and therefore that's not getting in the way, and therefore that would be, even if one has to have the laws of mizbech, it would still be considered a halah, and thus be liable for halah b'chutz. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Continuing the theme of our parak regarding the laws of b'chutz, of doing the void of a carbon out of the azar. So says the Mishnah, Mincha Shalei Nikmatza, regarding a flower offering, which, and this continues the theme of the previous Mishnah, which was talked about the Kaimitz, we're talking about flower offerings. So if one had a flower offering that did not have the Kemitza done to it, which is the Zikarin, which is that provides the appeasement for the flower offering, which the rest is eaten, there's a fistful that's burned on the Mizbeach. So if, let's say, there's a Mincha that did not have the fistful taken out of it, so it's not eligible for a carbon inside, because it's only eligible once a kemitz is taken. So therefore, if a kriva b'chutz, if one burns it like that on the outside, he's going to be potter, he's going to be exempt, because it's not considered a valid mincha until you have the kemitz taken off of it. Let's say kamtza, let's say he did take the fistful, but v'chaza kamtz l'teicha, but then the fistful fell back into that the rest of the flour, which is called the shirayim, the leftovers, which is generally eaten by the kahanim, and v'kriva b'chutz, and then he burns that whole mixture together on the outside, their chayiv is going to be liable. The reason for that is because such a type of a mincha would be valid inside on the mizbeach, as the Mishnah teaches in Menachas of Chaf Gimel Med Aleph, if the kaimitz gets mixed up with the shrine with the remnants, which is the leftover after you take out that fistful, the law is lo yakter, don't burn it on the mizbeach. But if it's burnt, then it fulfills the obligation of the owner. So you see, on some level, it is considered valid inside, and therefore one would be chayiv for burning that on the outside for halabachot. Now, regarding this last halacha, the Gemara asked, "Vamai, but why is the case, is it that like that the one's liable? Levatli shirayim lekaimitz, the majority of that flour offering is the remnants, which is the majority, is the leftovers. That should nullify in the laws of Raiv, of majority, of the fistful, which is the minority, and we should consider it as halacha does, as if it's non-existent, and therefore it's like there's no kemitz over here, and the whole liability is only for kemitz, because that's the only thing that's burnt on the mizbeach. The rest of it is not burnt on the mizbeach to be liable on the outside." And actually the Gemara Menachas Chav Gimel Beis asks this same question, not regarding halabachos, but regarding how does one fulfill the obligation, like we said, after the fact, when he burns on the mizbeach, but why? It should become batel, it should be nullified in the majority of the shirayim. So Reb Zeri says, no, there's no law of bittel here. Why? Nemra haktara b'kaimitz. It says the terminology of burning by the kaimitz itself. Like it says in Mayukar Beis, b'kamatz v'hiktar, that he takes off the fistful and he burns it. Now, v'nemra haktar b'shirayim. And it also says the terminology of burning regarding the leftovers. What does that mean? We don't burn the leftovers, but the pasuk says, loisek tir b'menu ish l'Hashem. Don't burn the leftovers in the fires to Hashem. Which tells us that whatever had from it that was given li'ishim to the fires, the rest is considered in bal tek tir, which is the shirayim. So we see that it refers to the shirayim in the terminology of haktar, albeit in don't do that. But we learn the comparison, mahaktar is kaimitz. So therefore, just like the burning of the kaimitz, ein kaimitz mavatl chaveroi, if let's say many different karbanis of mincha get mixed up, their fistfuls together, that one kaimitz is not going to nullify the other, even if there's a majority of one over the other, as we learn this concept in the Gemara Menachas of Chav Bezim and Aleph, that regarding the avodah of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim, it says there's two karbanos that he brings and does the avodah with. One's the sar for the Jewish people, one's the par for him and his family and the kahanim. So it says that after he did the avodah, lefnai v'lefin mekayesh hakadoshim, the holies of holies, so v'lokach medama par medama sar, he takes from the blood of the bull and the blood of the he-goat, which is, and he mixes them together. Now it's known that the blood of the bull is much more than the blood of a he-goat. And still, we consider it still as dam asar. It's not nullified, like the pasuk calls it dam asar. From here, the Gemara says over there that they don't nullify when they're the same type of idea, bloods of karbanis, they don't nullify each other. Here also, the kemitzin, they're also the same idea, they don't nullify each other. Oh, so therefore, just like it says v'hikter by the kemitza, and one kaimitz does not nullify the other kaimitz, afaktar shirayim, so too regarding the burning of the leftover parts, that ain't shirayim, mevatl kaimitz, they're also, since it says the terminology of aktara, it's also not going to mevatl another kaimitz, and therefore there's no bittel, and therefore it still exists, and therefore it would be b'di'evid mekayim d'chiv b'fnim, and therefore one would be chayiv the halabachatz, as our Mishnah says. Continuing on the theme of karbanis of menachis regarding this law of bachutz, says the Mishnah, HaKoimitz V'Halavayna. When there's a minchas nedav, when someone gives a donated mincha, certain minachas are nesachim, they're brought as secondary to a carbon. Sometimes a person can make a nedav, donate a flour offering. Now, when he brings that minchas nedav, he brings with it a koimitz, I mean, he takes a fistful from that mincha, and burns it on the mizbeach, and also brings levayna, frankincense, and both of them are burnt on the mizbeach, and they're considered the matirin, they permit the leftovers to be eaten. So it says the Mishnah, Shehikrevis Echen Men Bachutz. Let's say only sacrifice one of these two, either the Kemitza or the Levayna, outside of the Azara. So Tanna Gamma says, Chayv is going to be liable for burning something that should be burnt on the Mizbeach, but burning it outside. Now, Rebbe Lazar Paiter, he says, no. He says the person is exempt. Achiyakrevis Hasheni, until he goes and then burns also the second one. Because he holds that you have to burn the entire Matar, which the permitter of the leftovers of the Mincha is only with two things, the Levayna and the Kemitza. If you only do one, you didn't do the whole matter, and therefore you're not going to be chayiv for the laws of halah b'chutz. However, says the Mishnah, if let's say echad b'fnim, let's say he does one of those two, either the Levayna or the Kemitza, first inside on the Mizbech, and then the echad b'chutz, then he does the second one outside, then chayiv is going to be liable because here, that's the conclusion, as we said, this idea in the previous Mishnah, and therefore, everyone would agree that that's what's completing the Avodah, And since this is something that is considered a full avodah b'fnim, because it's the last thing, hakol halacha hagmar, therefore that would create a liability according even to Rebbe Lazar, even if you're only doing one of them, if you're doing it on the outside. Continues the Mishnah. Similarly, shnei bezicha levayna, when there is the lechem upon them, the showbreads that are on the shulchan, which are taken every Shabbos, the 12 breads, so there's two spoons of frankincense, which they're burnt on the Mizbeach, and they're what permit the lechem upon them, the 12 showbreads, to be eaten by the Kehanim. Like the Pasuk says in B'yukah Chavdaled, V'yisul lechem la'askara, that these levainas are for the breads for commemoration, which we learn, it says over here, askara, a remembrance, and says over there, by mincha osa askara, just like over there, the kemitza is what permits the leftover flour to be eaten. So to the levaina over here permits the breads, because we find that the leftover, the mincha, it says, that the Aaron and his sons eat the kachem kachem me'ishe Hashem, which tells us that only after the kaimitz is burnt in the fires, then you can eat the rest. So to over here it says askarasa. It's only once you bring the shnei bezich levayna that then they could eat the lechem, the breads, the showbreads, the lechem upon them. Now on that says the Mishnah. Let's say shehikrves echen mehem bachut. Let's say only sacrifice one of these spoonfuls of frankincense on the outside. So the Tanna Kama, like we said before, says chayv, you can be liable. But here also, Rebbe Lazar Paiti says, no, you can be exempt until you also sacrifice the second spoonful of frankincense on the outside, because you need the whole matter. Now here also, but echa b'fnim, the echa b'chutz, let's say he first sacrificed one appropriately on the Mizbeach, and then the second one he did outside, then chayim, because since it's the end one, even Rebbe Lazar is going to agree that that is the matter that's being done and being completed, and therefore one would be liable for Allah b'chutz, even if it's only one, if it's the last one. Now, and the following question that's going to relate back to the halacha of our Mishnah. Kaimitz, mao sheyater kenegdoi b'shirayim. The fistful that's taken out of a minchas nedava. What's the halacha that it should permit correlatingly regarding the leftovers of the mincha? In other words, if let's say he's only makter, he only burns the kemitza, the fistful of the flour, and not the levaina. Now his intention is, because it's a half of a matter, to permit half of the leftovers of the mincha, and he selects and he chooses that it should be this half that's permitted. What's halacha? Could he eat, as shirayim, half of the leftovers of the flour offering? What's the question? So the Gemara explains. Do we say, we said there's two matirin, the levayna and the kaimitz, and they were permitted minchas nadava. Now, do we say mishra shari, that the kamitza is a total permitter, but halfway? What's a halfway on half of the leftover flour? And therefore, it would permit that half, if he selects which one, to be eaten, and the other half not, until you bring the levayna. Oh, a kalushe miklash, or maybe no. Maybe the whole thing is going to have a lighter prohibition on all the shirayim until he brings also the levayna, because the kemitz and the levayna are both what permit the entirety of the thing to be eaten. Now, when you bring one of the two matirin, so it takes the severity, the intensity of the iser, and cuts it in half qualitatively. But quantitatively, no, the whole thing retains that iser, and with one, it's not going to permit any of it, even half of it, to be eaten. That was the question. What is it when it permits halfway? Is it qualitatively or is it quantitatively? So that the Gemara asks, Alibi Deman, according to whom is Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha asking his question? If he's asking according to Rabbi Meir, which this machlik is Rabbi Rabban has brought in Masechtas Menachis and the Tazayinim and Aleph, Daman, that he says, Mafagl Machatzi Matu. He says that the law of Pigel could apply even if he's having an inappropriate machshav of chutzas manoi, even on only one of the two matirins. Let's say when he's doing the kemitza, he has a machshav as pigal. Or doing the levaina only, he has a machshav of pigal, where he's burning that, let's say the kemitza, with the intention that an olive size of the leftover should be eaten chutzas manoi. He says it's still going to be pigal, even though it's only being done in half of the matirin, which is one out of the two. Now, on that says the Gemara, according to him, it's not a question. Obviously, he holds mishra shari. Obviously, it's a definitive, quantitative permission that it permits. Because if you're going to say that when you burn the kemitza without a machshava of pigel, that it's not going to permit at least an olive size of the leftovers with totality, meaning quantitatively, then how exactly could it be a machshava psul of pigel with that having in mind for that olive size of it, but it has to be the machshava of pigel, similar to the laws of the Zrikas Adam, which is where we learn out the laws of pigel from, which is a total permitter. The blood is what totally permits that carbon. So therefore, obviously, the machshava of pigel has to be in something that you're doing an inappropriate machshava in what would totally permit. So obviously, your mayor, obviously, if you're only doing one out of two materials, it's not totally permitting, but it has to be at least it's permitting halfway, and that's the only way Rebbe would be able to say that therefore you could create a pickle with that, with a machshava in only one of the two matirin. So according to him, there's obviously no question. Now, Iyali b'drabbanu who disagree with Rebbe, the army that they say, no, you cannot create pigle with a half a matir. It has to be just like Zvika said, it has to be the whole matir. They had an inappropriate machshava during that avaida. Then, loy mishrashari, v'loy miklish kalish. In other words, maybe it's neither one of the two options that Rebbe Yitzchak Nafka had. In other words, why was it so obvious Rebbe Yitzchak Nafka that he said, oh, which one is it? Is it when you do one of the two matirin that it's Mishra Shari, it's going to permit it quantitatively, or is it Miklash Kalash, it's going to be permitted qualitatively? According to Rabbanan, who said it's either one? Maybe it's not Mishra Shari, and maybe it's not Miklash Kalash, maybe it does nothing, because it's not doing anything, and that's why they hold you can't do pickle in the Chatzimata. Eli rather says the Gemara, Alibi de Rebbe Elazar. Maybe Rebbe Yitzchak Nafka's question was according to Rebbe Elazar in our Mishnah, which he says in our Mishnah that you're not going to be liable for the Allah Isra of Allah B'chutz if you only go ahead and do one of the two matirim on the outside. And therefore, Rebbe Yitzchak had a question that maybe would be permitted because it's not clear what the Allah would be according to Rebbe Elazar. And that is the Gemara, how can you say that? Rebbe Elazar k'rabbanan severely. Rebbe Elazar obviously holds like drabbanan. The Amar ima fagel mechatzi matir, that he says that you cannot create a pigle in the chatzi matir because it's not significant enough, and that's why not chayv halal b'chutz. So therefore, according to Rebbe Elazar also, maybe it's not permitted, and maybe it's not even weakening. And therefore, why was it so obvious, according to, if you're saying the question according to Rebbe Elazar, that it's either one or the other, but Rebbe Elazar says, obviously, it's not considered a valid haktara, and that's why not chayv halal b'chutz. Obviously, that's like Remeir who disagreed with Remeir and hold that it's not considered a valid haktara to be able to create pigle. Rather says the Gemara, Aliba de Rabbanan dahacha. Rebbe Yitzchak Nafka's question was according to Rabbanan in our Mishnah who disagree with Rebbe Elazar and hold that there is a liability of Allah b'chutz in only one of the two matirin. So obviously they hold, if you're chayv Allah b'chutz, must be that it's a valid haktara inside. And that's what the question is, that my, for what halachic relevancy do we say it's considered haktara bifnim? Mishra Shari is because when you do one of the two matirim, it totally permits half of the quantity of the mincha, a kolish miklish, or is it maybe only weakening? As Rashi explains, here the Kamar couldn't say and resolve it and say, wait a second, from the fact that they hold that you're going to be liable for doing one of them on the outside, obviously it's Mishra Shari. No, because even if it's just weakening, we could say it's still considered a haktara to be liable for the halal b'chutz, because like we saw in previous halachas, that as long as it's in some element like a haktara, which it is, as long as it's weakening, it's doing something, so maybe that's going to be enough for it to be chayv b'chutz. But it's not necessarily, like we said before, according to the pin that holds, oh, that it's doing, of course, like Remeir, it's going to be Mishra Shari. No, it could be it's going to be just be Miklish Kalish, and that was according to whom Yitzchak Nafka asked this question. So the Gemara Teiko, according to them, you're right, in the Rabbana, in our Mishnah, it's not clear when it's doing it on the outside. So it's obviously doing something, but what is that something? Is it that it's totally permitting half of it, or is it that it's just weakening, and until the Levain, until the other matter comes, it's not going to be permitted? But again, according to Rabban, it's clear that it's going to be something of Akhtara, either one or the other, Miklash Kalash Mishra Shari, and that's why one be Chayv Halah Bachotz. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme of our parak regarding the liability of doing an Avodah Bachotz. Hazerik Miktsas Dam Bachotz. If someone throws, like the Girsa of Rashi's Miktsas Damim, if someone throws some of the bloods, for example, one of the Matonis, even on Chatois HaPenimius, which we learned in Perek Yezu Mekayman, that Komat Nasei Ma'akvis, all of their gifts of blood are integral, you can't be missing anyone. But if someone does even only just one of them, Bachutz, as you can see in Beis, Chayiv, according to the Rabbanan, obviously you're going to be liable because, like we said, they don't need the whole matter to be done on the outside, even if you do just one matter. But actually, the Gemara is going to tell us, even Rebbe Elazar would agree in the case of Chatois HaPenimius, that one would be liable for doing even just one of them on the outside, even though that's not the whole matter, and we just quoted before Rebbe Elazar holds you need the whole matter. Moreover, continues the Mishnah, Rebbe Elazar, he says, Af ha-manasach mi-ha-chag, even someone who pours the what's called the Nisach HaMayim, the waters of the Yom Tov of Sukkos, which it was poured up for the intention of being the waters of libation. If he does b'chag on the Yom Tov of Sukkos, he pours that water b'chutz on the outside, chayiv is going to be liable for the isra of Allah b'chutz. Now Rebbe Chemiyami says another halacha, shiyari hadam, even the leftover bloods of a karmen chatas, which the leftovers have to be poured to the yisrael of the mezbech of the foundation, shekriv b'chutz, if that was then sacrificed on the outside, chayiv, it's going to be a liability for Allah b'chutz. Because he holds shirayim ama'akfin, that the shirayim are integral, and therefore, since it's received inside, and it's considered a bona fide zrikas adam because it's integral, therefore, if one does it on the outside, one is going to be chayv. Now, as we alluded to in the Mishnah, Amar Ravi says, umaydi Rabbi Lazar b'dam. The first halacha we said, Rabbi Lazar agrees regarding the laws of the bloods, meaning even by the chatoyas ha-panimias, which those that are done in the heichel, the halacha is, if the blood spills out after one of the matanas, only one spray was done, that one spray had effectiveness. Because as we find, as the Gemara is going to quote, even according to Rabbi Lazar, when we then bring a new bull to continue doing the Zrikas Adam, you start from where you left off. So obviously the first Zrika did something, it was effective. The Tanya, which is actually a Mishnah, Masechtas Yuma, of Samach Amar Aleph, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Oimim, this is Rabbi Lazar that we're quoting, they both say, Mimakam Shapasa Kumaskal, from where he stopped, which after that, let's say the blood spilled out, something happened, when he then brings new blood, he continues from where he left off. So obviously, even one Matanas Dam has effectiveness, and that's why you don't have to do it over. And therefore, if you're going to do it on the outside, even though generally Rabbi Lazar holds you need to do the whole matter, here it has its own entity. Generally, you say you need the whole matter because without it, it's nothing. Here you see, obviously, it is significant, and therefore one, according to even Rabbi Lazar, is going to be chayiv for doing on the outside. Now, the Mishnah continued and said, Rabbi Lazar, I mean, he says, Afa menasach mehachag b'chag b'chutz. Even if one who pours the waters of libations of the Yamtav HaSukkos on the outside, is going to be chayiv. Now, Amar B'yechad and Mishum Remenachem Yudfa, which he was from this place, Yudfas, he explains that Rabbi Lazar, who says this halacha in the Mishnah, b'shitas Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Amar, he was going according to the opinion of his teacher, Rabbi Kiva. The Amar Nisach HaMayim Deraisa, Rabbi Kiva says that the laws of Nisach HaMayim are biblical, and therefore, since it's a chiyav deraisa, biblical, do it inside. If one does it on the outside, one's going to be chayav. It's kind of like learn the braisa. Kiva Omer, Kiva, as we quoted, says, Pasuk Bamidbar says, regarding the karbonis musafim, it's talking about on the sixth day of Sukkos, which the psukim go through the different days of Sukkos and their karbonis, says, and you have to bring the karbonis, unisacheha, and its libations, which is in the plural. What's that? Because the Pasuk is talking about two different libations on the Yom Tov Sukkos. Generally, carbon is brought with wine libations. On Sukkos, Echad Nisacha Mayim, there's also the libations of water, Vechad Nisacha Yain, and also the libations of wine. And therefore, you see a biblical allusion to the Halacha of Nisacha Mayim. And therefore, since it's biblical, therefore, if one does it on the outside, one's doing a biblical Avaida, Bachutz to be Chayv. And that's why Rabbi Lazar is like his teacher, Rabbi Kiva. However, Amali Rish Lakish Rabbi Yechan, he asks, if that's the case, like Rabbi Nachum Yudfo was saying, that Rabbi Lazar is learning it like his Rebbe Rabbi Kiva from that Pasuk. Now, in that Pasuk, it's, since it's saying in the plural, it's comparing the Nisach HaMayim to the Nisach HaYayin. So obviously, and that's the Gemara's question, you should have to say that the Nisach HaMayim should require three Lugan, just like the Nisach HaYayin of the carbon oila of the carbon tamid also requires three Lugan of wine. So therefore, Malahalan, just like over there by the wine libations, Ishleishas Lugan, you need three Lugan, Safkan, Shleishas Lugan. So here also, since it's comparing it from the same word, Unisachau, the Nisach HaMayim should also require three Lugan. And now the difficulty with that is, but Bar Rabbi Lazar, Mehachakama, he just says in general, the waters of the Yom Tov HaSukkos, which sounds like even less than three Lugan, because like as we find, there's an opinion, Brun Masech, the Sukkot of Memchez and Aleph, that says the Nisach HaMayim was even just one leg. And Rabbi Lazar's interpretation includes that, but if he's coming from his Rebbe Rebbe Kiva, it should require three Lugan. Moreover, Imala Halon, so if we're comparing it to Nisach HaYayin, just like the wine libations is B'shayim HaSashon is every day of the year, Afkam B'shayim HaSashon, then here also it should require the Nisach HaMayim every day of the year. But Rabbi Lazar B'chakam, Rabbi Lazar says it's only on Yom Tov HaSukkos. So says the Gemara, rather, Ishtamitze, it alluded Menachem Yudfa, because he thought it has to be that he's going like Rabbi Kiva, but seemingly it's not. So it alluded to him, Hod Amar Rabasi. The Amar Rabasi, Rabasi said that Amar B'yechad M'shurim M'nechonye Ish Bikas Beis Chorsan, from the valley of, this place was Chorsan, which he was referring to three different questions that were asked in the Beis Medrash at the same time, that where is the biblical source for these halachas? And this was, it was answered in the Beis Medrash, which the three that we're going to say, that they're halacha l'Moshe M'sinai, these are the traditions we have from Moshe Rabbeinu from Har Sinai. And whoever heard these three that were taught at the same time, put it together in one text. And what are these three halachas? So Esther Netiyas, 10 saplings of trees, which this is referring to a Mishnah in Seder Zerah, Masech Shviyas, which talks about 10 saplings which are spread out in an area of a base saw. Now, they're equidistant, that they're all equal amounts from one from the other, and they take up a space of a base saw, which is 50 amas squared. And they're spread out in the length and the width equally. So the halacha is that one could plow the entire Beis Saw because of the 10 trees that are in there, even though it's right before the Shemitah year, and you could do it up until the Shemitah year starts on Rosh Hashanah. Now, even though there's a mitzvah in that Torah, a biblical mitzvah to add on what's called Tesvis Shviyas, to add on, that's even in the pre-Shemitah year, as the Gemara learns out, that it says Mibachar Shabakatzah Tishbeis, which is referring to the plowing of Erev Shemitah, because on Shemitah itself there are other things that are also prohibited, not just plowing. So it says that even plowing from the sixth year that goes into the seventh year, it's forbidden to plow, and that applies for 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, as the Gemara says in the first sugya there, might cut enough Gimel and Alf, that learns out from Psukim. Now, regarding saplings, young trees, it's a halacha l'mayshu misina that's permitted to plow beneath those trees up until Rosh Hashanah so that they don't dry out in the Shemitah year. Now, that halacha is told that if there's 10 of them and they're spread out according to the halacha, like we said, in the whole Beis Saw, so it was said to Maisha that these saplings in the Beis Saw permitted to plow the entire Beis Saw, not just beneath the trees, in that whole area up until Rosh Hashanah. Now, if there's not 10 saplings, or let's say it's not spread out according to the way we just described it, then you could only plow beneath each tree separately according to what's necessary for the nourishment of that tree, according to that calculation of how much it is for the 10 for the Beis Saw. Now, this is only for saplings, but regards old trees, then it's forbidden 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, as the Gemara says over there, Ma'id Katan, where according to Bishmol, it's learned out from Halacha L'Mesh Messina, according to Bekiva, from Sukkim. Now, the Chacham then made a boundary for this halacha, and they said that it's even forbidden to work the a grain field from Pesach and onward, and from an orchard with old trees from Shavuos and onward. But it's again, it's regarding this halacha of the 10 saplings, and also Arava, regarding the halacha that in the Beis HaMikdash, that they would take the willow on the Yom Tov Sukkos and go around, do the hakafas around the Mizbeach, and it's not referring to the aravas that we use in our lulav, because that we learned out from Sukkim. And v'nisach hamayim, this halacha that we're talking about over here, that by the tamid shel shachar, all the 7 days of the Yom Tov Sukkos, that they would pour wine libations on the Mizbeach, halacha l'meishu misinai, that these are halachas that are given over tradition from Meishu from Sinai. So therefore, says the Gemara, obviously according to everybody, the law of nisach hamayim is biblical, and you don't have to learn that like Rabbi Kiva from Unisachaha. And therefore, you could say that, yeah, there are opinions that hold it's enough with a log, or even that there's no requisite shear. And therefore, that could be included in Rabbi Loza's words of mehachag, and could be less than 3 logan, because it's not necessarily that when he's saying it's a biblical halacha to be chai b'chutz, that's coming from a nesacha, it's coming from the halacha l'meisha misinai. Now, Tana Banu Linda Braisa, continuing on this halacha of the nesach hamayim, we learned in the Braisa, hamanasech shleishes lugan mayim b'chag b'chutz, like we said in the Mishnah. Someone pours 3 lugan of water on that's from this designated waters of nisach hamayim on the Yom Tov Sukkos outside of the Azara, chayiv is going to be liable for this issa b'halav b'chutz. Rabbi Lasso Emi says, im molin l'shem chag chayiv, if it was filled up to be designated for the purposes of the Yom Tov Sukkos, then he's going to be liable. So ask the Gemara, my benet, what's the difference between them? In other words, what exactly are they disagreeing about? And what is Rabbi Elazar coming to say? Seemingly he's saying the same thing as the Tana Kama, as he says in our Mishnah, that yeah, you have to be 3 lugan of water that's designated for the Nisach HaMayim. So Amrav Nachum B'Yitzchak, he says, B'yesh shir b'mayim k'mifugi. Their machlekes is regarding, is there a designated amount of the water? In other words, yes, everyone agrees, it's obvious like from the words of both of them, that if one pours, there's a minimum of 3 lugan of water to be liable. But the Tana Kama holds that that's the minimum. But the same thing would be even if it's more than 3 lugan because of the halacha concept known as yesh b'chla masai mona. In 200, there's 100. So even though, let's say, it was filled up in a large vessel, the vessel is going to sanctify that water because there's no measurement for the maximum amount of water that could be used for the nisach hamayim. And that comes Rabbi Elazar to say, "V'hu shemilim l'shem chag," meaning the way it's normally filled up, which is only 3 lugan and not more, because as the Mishnah teaches elsewhere, that there was a golden pitcher that was used that held 3 lugan that was filled up from the Me'ah Shaloich, from that stream they would fill up the water from, but that's only 3 lugan. But if it was more, then the vessel would not sanctify it because it's not appropriate for it. But that's what it means, that there's a shear for the mayim in the maximum. And therefore the Kli Sharis, the service vessel, would not sanctify only what's appropriate for it. That's the machlekes between Rabbi Elazar and the Tana Kama. Another interpretation of Papam, he says, as a continued type of Kof Yud Aleph and Aleph, Bekarvu Nesachem Bamidba Pligi. Their machlekes is based on the concept, if they poured libations when they were bringing karbanas in the desert, in the Midba, before they came to Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, they both hold that there is a shear for the water, and that the Kli Sharis would not sanctify only what's appropriate for that Kli. And therefore, if you fill up more than what's appropriate, the vessel will not sanctify it. But the Tanna Kamma holds that you're going to be chayiv. Why? Why are you chayiv? Isn't there a max? Because they don't hold that nesachim need to be sanctified in the vessel to be liable if you're going to do it and pour it on the outside. Why? Because they hold that libations were poured even when the Jews were in the Midbar, in the Oil Moed, all those 40 years. Now, therefore, as we'll see, as the Gemara says later on, there's a ramification, because the Pasuk talks about the laws of Nesachim when they're coming to Eretz Yisrael. Now, if you're saying that they even did Nesachim in the Midbar, you have to say that this that it says in Parsha Shlach, that they were being told about libations when they're coming to Eretz Yisrael, it's coming to tell us that even the 7 years of conquering and 7 years of dividing the land, that which those were times when bamais, private altars, were permitted, as the Gemara says there on Daf Kuf Beis and Mabeis, that it's coming to tell us that every individual's bama also required, because right when they came to Eretz Yisrael, which is the time when they had bamas, also required the nesachim, the libations. Because what are you telling us that there's nesachim? You're not telling us that there's nesachim by the main bama, by the mishkan that's there, in that before the Beis HaMikdash was built, even at times when they had bamas, what's called a bamas sibur, to say that when they came to Eretz Yisrael that you're going to have to do nesachim, because this mandam holds that even in the midbar they were bringing libations. Now, so since it's telling us that by private altars they were bringing libations, now on a person's private altar there's no clay showers, there's no service vessels, as the Gemara says in the last paragraph of Kofi Gimlam and Alice. So that's why the Tanna Kamma holds that also if this is done on the outside of the Azara at a time when bamas are forbidden, even though it's not being sanctified in the vessel, because yes, it's too much, it's more than three lugan, but since at a time when bamas are permitted, it could be brought without Kedusha's Kli, so therefore the liability is also going to be even without Kedusha's Kli. As we said earlier this svar in the previous daf, that when it's brought up on top of a rock, because it's considered a hakrava at a time when people were able to have, according to that man, the Omar, with their own private bamas, that it was considered a valid halah, so therefore that's considered a violation of bachutz at a time when bamas are forbidden. Moreover, it's also based on the concept of im olu lo yerdu, where if it would be done after the fact, you wouldn't take it down. The same concept applies over here. As the Gemara said on the Pedal Mabez, from where do we know that if something was taken out of the perimeter, if it goes up, you don't take it down? Because we say, because you see yaitz is kashya by bama. So you see that equivalency regarding the laws of being kashya by a bama when bamas are permitted, to say the halacha that it's considered im olu lo yerdu, which then, again, if it's valid inside, then you'll be chayef for doing halal b'chutz. Now, that's a Tanna Kamma. But Rabbi Elazar held that no, nesachim were not brought when they were in the desert. And therefore, when it talks about the laws of nesachim when they came into Eretz Yisrael, that was talking about to tell you that only after they inherited and they split up Eretz Yisrael, which then they had the Mishkan and Shilai when there were no Bamas, when they only had the public Mizbeach, it's for there that they were Mechuyiv in the Sachem. Awesome. That's why it had to tell us when they came to Eretz Yisrael, because all the 40 years in the Midbar, they actually did not bring the Sachem in the Mishkan. And that's what the Pasuk is telling us. But when you have the permanent Beis HaMikdash, the one in Shilai and the Beis HaMikdash, and to tell you that that's when you're going to have Nesachim, but not during the years of conquering and dividing Eretz Yisrael when everyone had their own private bamas. So therefore, we see that they did not bring Nesachim in the private bamas because there were no Kli Sharis in the private bamas. And therefore, if one's going to go ahead and bring it outside for the Isra of Allah B'chutz, if it's not sanctified in the vessel because you're putting more than three Logan in the vessel, that's why there's not going to be a liability according to Rabbi Elazar. And so the Gemara tells us later on that according to the one who holds that you have to sanctify the Nesachim in the vessel is the one who holds that in the Midbar they did not bring Nesachim. Now Ravinam, he brings a third interpretation. He says, "Belameiden nisachamayim and nisachayayim pligi their machlekes is, do we learn out the laws of the water libations from the laws of the wine libations?" In other words, he holds that according to everybody, they did bring Nesachim in the Midbar. And when it talks about that when they were coming to Eretz Yisrael, they were being told the laws of libations, it was coming to say, obviously, then, for the private altars, that there was Nesachim. And therefore, if one brings it on a bama without sanctifying the vessel, it's going to be valid. Now, so if that's the case, so then, obviously, you should be chayv halal b'chutz, even if it's not Neskadish b'kli. However, no, because that halacha was said regarding the Nesach Hayayim. But we don't find clearly what's the law regarding Nesach Hamayim. Now, the reason for that is because Nesach HaMayim was never brought by a private altar. It's only a public obligation on the Yom Tov of Sukkot with the carbon tamidim that are brought every single day by the tzibur. And that's something that's only brought on the bamas tzibur with a klei sharis. So therefore, that's regarding that case that they disagree. Tanakama holds, we learn out the laws of Nisach HaMayim from Nisach HaYayin to thus be liable if it's done on the outside, even if it was not sanctified in the vessel, like we said, everyone holds by Nisach HaYayin. But Rabbi Elazar holds, you don't learn out because they're two different halachas. The Nisach HaYayin, there you're going to be liable for doing it on the outside without a vessel. But Nisach HaMayim, which is a different halacha, that's only if it was sanctified in the vessel, but if it wasn't sanctified in the vessel, then you're not going to be chayim. And therefore, since you're doing more than three lugin, as we said, everyone's going to agree according to this interpretation that if it has more than the requisite share, that then it's not going to be sanctified. And if it's not going to be sanctified, then the Kohen Shebelazar that you need to have a kli that's makadosh, it's not going to be valid to be liable on the outside. Whereas according to Tanakama, they hold that no, just like Nisach HaYayin Yechayven Bechutz, even though it wasn't sanctified, so too would be by Nisach HaMayim.